We ate our honey. We ate a lot. Now we have no honey in our honey pot. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, it is the middle of March, back half of March, and I'm looking at my list of books to cover, and y'all, gang, guys, as I approach the 10th anniversary of my show, which is going to be a major blowout. That's a lie. I'm not going to do anything special. Which I would, but I'm very busy and just don't have the patience or time or desire to do anything about it. I'm looking at the rest of the books. This is not including like books that are still coming out in like this year. But the stuff I'm left with is either Easter, which is in a month, or Thanksgiving, which is not yet. Well, we have Mother's Day, which is in May. We have Father's Day, which is later than that. We have a teacher's book, which is highly inappropriate for right now. Plus, we already did a teacher's book. Plus, this one's not coming out for a while. And then a bunch of books that aren't coming out for a while. And if you're thinking to yourself, hey, Phil, it sounds like you don't have a whole lot of books left to do. You're right. I don't have a lot of books left to do, and I'm at a bit of a loss. Now, if you remember from my interview with Mike Berenstain, we talked about me perhaps doing some Stan and Jan Berenstain books that aren't Berenstain Bears related, like they're comedy books from the 1960s and beyond. And he actually sent me a copy of the book that he requested I cover, which I think is a great idea. I think is a great plan. I'm not going to do it yet because A, I don't know how to, and B, it's not appropriate because it is a tax-specific book, and I want to do it a little bit closer to tax day. So we'll be getting to that one in a couple of weeks. I just finished my taxes. Thank you. Took me so long. It didn't take me long, but it took me some time, and I did them, and they're done. So as a way of celebrating, we're going to take a look at the first Berenstain Bears book. That's right. It is the Berenstain Bears. Not at all, because it's not a Berenstain Bears book. It is The Big Honey Hunt by Stanley and Janice Berenstain from 1963. This is the first Berenstain Bears book I ever covered on the show, obviously. It's not the first book I covered on the show. The first book I ever covered on the show was Down a Sunny Dirt Road by Stan and Jan, which is their sort of autobiography for kids that sort of leads up to the publications of their early books. But The Big Honey Hunt was the book that came out of their collaboration with the man himself, Ted Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss, the man with a plan, the cat with a hat, the green egg with the ham. That's right, the boy toy of Broadway, Ted Theodore Geisel, the man who taught the Stanley and Janice to call themselves Stan and Jan on their book covers and to keep doing bear books. So, in case you're not familiar, how about a little dubious history of Stan and Jan's first book, The Big Honey Hunt? So they had been working with Dr. Seuss. So Stan and Jan, by the time they became children's book authors, they were established cartoonists, they were established humorists, and they were established writers. They had published books already. Sorry, I had to check and make sure. I did a video shoot today in which I did not press record. And as you can see, Phil, that seems to have happened to you a lot. It does happen to me. I was just nervous that I hadn't actually pressed record on the old recorder. So Stanley and Janice, Stan and Jan, already they're parents of Mike and Leo. They're a wonderful couple, happy couple, and wonderful artistic collaborators. And they had decided to sort of dive into the world of children's book publishing because it was sort of a new thing in the United States of America, started by Phyllis Cerf and Ted Geisel and Helen Palmer Geisel, who was also a children's book creator in her own right. This was Beginner Books. I can read it all by myself, the one with the little cat in the hat up in the corner. And this was founded in 1957 through Random House. And they began the process of sort of coaxing illustrators and writers from many different parts of children, not children's, like humor and art and letters, all over. Like these are like people who would illustrate for The Atlantic or for The New Yorker or for Better Homes and Gardens, places that typically focused on adult sensibilities. And they were like, hey, these people are smart, they're savvy, They're great illustrators. They're great writers. They're very funny. Let's get these people together and write books for kids along the lines of The Cat in the Hat, because that was the first book the first book in the I Can Read It All, which is why The Cat in the Hat is the logo for I Can Read It All by Myself. This was all after Seuss had already established himself as a great writer of children's books. But this really narrowed things down. Let's do simplified language, entertaining books that will encourage children to read and learn to read and be read to, but in sort of this lively, hip, modern style. So we're not looking at water babies anymore. You know, we're not looking at Dick and Jane anymore. We're looking at these fast-paced, dynamic children's books. So this 1957, it had existed for a while. And Stan and Jan had been doing a comic series in McCall's Good Housekeeping, I believe, called It's All in the Family. And these were a series of like one-panel strips. There's collections of them out there. These one-panel strips that were, think like a family circus, only very specifically about Stan and Jan's parenting, raising kids. It's a part of the greater genre that I like to refer to as like kids. Am I right? These were comic strips, cartoons, sitcoms that were all about like dad goes to work, mom stays at home. The kids are rowdy, rambunctious. You love to hate them. This was me making a fist because there was always the threat of physical violence somehow in these books. Dad was always sipping on a martini. His tie was always a little askew. And this style carries through. Like, we still have Family Circus. We still have like Blondie and Dagwood, these sort of beleaguered parents who put up with like their little tykes, these rotten little monsters, these little goblins. But Stan and Jan had based these comics on actual things that their children had done and said. And a lot of those storylines from the comics carry through into later Berenstain Bears books, like Berenstain Bears and the Dinosaurs, The Messy Room thing. Like, these little like one-panel gags would work their way into the Berenstain Bears books. But they were really interested in writing for children, writing children's books that could capture the imagination of young kids. And so they approached Ted Geisel, they approached Random House, and were like, we'd love to write a book. And so Geisel was like, I will take you under my wing and teach you how to write a successful children's book. And so they began. They began writing and they began illustrating. And they would submit stories and they would submit drawings. And Ted Geisel would go, no, no, absolutely not. No, no, under no circumstances. No, not good, not funny, not dynamic. No, terrible. No, take it back to the drawing board. And they kept like having to like write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite like every single thing they submitted. Ted was very exacting. He had an idea of what a successful children's book was. We can't hold that against him because he was right most of the time. And they finally submitted a book called Freddy Bear's Spanking, which was ostensibly the first Stan and Jan Berenstain Bear book, but it was about a little boy who was going to get punished by his father, and he was, I believe, suggesting different things that the father could do to him instead of giving him a spanking. And they worked on this book for a long time. I've never seen any of the illustrations from it. I've never seen any of the background of it. I would love to see that one of these days. But eventually Geisel was like, you know what? I've been writing for kids a long time. I've been doing this job for decades. I don't have kids of my own. Don't even particularly care for kids. But I know what kids like. And I'll tell you one thing kids are not crazy about. It's reading about corporal punishment. Let's move away from the spanking idea. However, there's one segment of this book, and it's a part of the book that's about Freddy Bear, like, I think suggesting to his father that an alternate punishment could be him being forced to go out and hunt for honey for the family, like to take care of the honey situation. And they drew this beautiful, like, bizarre honey tree in it. And Geisel was like, this section right here, I really like the part where he's out hunting. Focus on that. Make the book just about this one little thing that Freddy Bear is doing, and just make it about a big honey hunt. And that's what they did. They went back to the drawing board and they started writing and rewriting and illustrating and re-illustrating. They paired the characters down to the mama bear, the papa bear, and the little boy, Small Bear, who would be the stars of this book. And if you look at the original cover, not the new cover, the cover's been redrawn for later editions, but the original cover, it's green, it's got Papa Bear and Small Bear. You can tell that these are the Berenstain Bears. They barely look like them, but the costumes are pretty much on. The claws and the toes are kind of the same, but otherwise these are very different characters than we're going to see. But a lot of the groundwork is being laid in this book, the big Honey Hunt. In 1963's Big Honey Hunt, which has been reissued time and again in celebration of many anniversaries. I believe it's still in print. You can buy a copy with the original interior artwork. It's only the cover that's been changed. But this was the book that came out, and it was a huge hit. So let's take a look at The Big Honey Hunt, see what it's all about. If you've never read it before, go out, get yourself a copy, and read it. I'll wait the 5 seconds it will take you to get through the book. It's actually a much longer book than you would think. This is back when kids book, like you, if you're used to like children's like level one readers now, they're fairly quick and fairly short. This book's like over 60 pages long. Like, I mean, the pages are short, but there's stuff happens and keeps happening. Now, we're going to be flipping through the illustrations as they're shown in the ebook version of this. And so just know that it being an ebook, the pictures are sort of remixed and edited. So I did my best to only pick the ones that best represent the way the original layouts were. So if you're watching along at home, that's what you're going to see. If you're listening along at home, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. So we start off. Great illustration right off the bat. Your cover illustration says The Big Honey Hunt by Stanley and Janice Berenstain. Obviously, they didn't go by Stanley and Janice after this book. They went by Stan and Jan because Geisel was like, wait a minute, do you guys call each other Stanley and Janice? And they're like, no, we call each other Stan and Jan. And Geisel's like, stick with that. It's a much friendlier name. It's what you call yourselves, what you should call yourselves in your books. Also, Stan rhymes with Jan. It was also Geisel who came up with the concept of calling the bears the Berenstain Bears, because there was alliteration there. Stan and Jan were like, that's not their name. They're the Bear family. Their last name's not Berenstain. And Geisel were like, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. It will never cause confusion ever in the future. Don't even worry about it. Yeah. So we have this great cover illustration. It almost looks like something out of early, like, Roald Dahl, like the sketchiness of it. Who was the illustrator? Not the later illustrator for all of Dahl's books, but the guy who illustrated, like, the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I can't think of his name. That's kind of what this illustration looks like. We see the Bear family's treehouse with a much higher up front door. It's like the front door is on the second level. So the front steps go down, and then they hit a landing, and then they go down further. Kind of a cool layout that I really kind of like. Now, I know that Stan and Jan were very critical of their illustrations for this book later on. They said that the treehouse looked very, like, I think they said, like, anemic or skeletal or something. Like, it looks very thin and spindly. And I can understand why you wouldn't want that to be the representation of the Bear family treehouse going forward. But it's a really cool drawing. I like that. I like this illustration. I like this design. I think it may have been Paul V. Allen, and I Can Read It All By Myself, his History of the Beginner Books, that I think he's the one who used the illusion that this is like looking at early Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Like, you recognize the characters, but it's way different. It's very off, which is cool, which is fine. The bears are much fuzzier. Their ears are very fuzzy. Their feet are thinner. The families themselves, they're just thinner creatures. Their snouts are longer, more like bears. I don't know. I have a soft place in my heart for illustrations like this. But we see Mama waving goodbye to Papa and Small Bear, and that's the beginning of our book. So let's take a look, see what this is all about. All right, here we go. So what happens is Mama, Papa, and Small Bear have finished all the honey that's in the house, and Mama's tipping if you look at the illustrations, the characters are a little stiff. I can understand why Stan and Jan weren't happy with the finished product once they stood back and took a look at it. From here on out, the bears are going to look a lot more dynamic. Their movement's going to be a lot more fluid. The body proportions are going to be a lot more regular. This first book is your rough first go at them. And again, remember, these were not intended to be recurring characters. Just so you know, this was meant to be a one-off book about a family of bears. They were going to go off and do another book after this about a penguin. It was only because of the success of this book that Geisel was like, let's just milk this bear family for all it's worth. We also, the first illustration from the storyline, we see a small bear in a position that we will not see the bears in much later on, which is looking straight at the camera with his snout above his forehead. It was clear that Stan and Jan hadn't figured out how to draw a face-on look at our main characters. You don't see this much anyway. This is a Simpsons thing as well. The Simpsons, after the first season, were like, don't ever show the Simpsons face on to the audience. It's not a flattering pose. Should always show them at like three quarters or whatever, because we want to see a little bit of that silhouette. We certainly don't want to see a Berenstain Bear character with their nose a good 2 inches above the top of their head. I guess Brother Bear is supposed to be looking up at the pot, but it reads more just like that he ran face first into a plate glass window and stuck that way. Again, not criticizing. It's just this is a fact. These are facts. So they're out of honey. And Mama's like, look, run down to the honey store, get us some more honey. Right out your window is the honey store. It's a honey store. It's not really a store, okay? It's a stand. It's just a honey stand with a bear standing there at the stand with the honey. I believe this bear is named in a later book, but I can't think of their name right now. It might be a different bear as well. But look, there's the honey store. And to add to the comedy, the honey store is literally right outside the window. Like, the honey store is on their walk. Somehow this bear, somehow zoning in bear country doesn't exist yet. We got to remember that this is soon after the bears move from their cave to bear country. So they're the only house around for miles. And the honey store has decided, these being my only customers, I'll set up shop 2 yards from their front door. They can't do anything about it. There's no zoning rules. So, you know, sit and spin, bear family. Papa's like, great, let's go out and get some honey. He pulls Small Bear out the door, and Small Bear's like, wait, the honey store, where are you going, Papa? The honey store is right here. Mama just pointed it out, and Mama has a worried look on her face because she knows that this something is wrong. She knows that the Papa is going to take his son out and do something unsuggestible, unrecommended. Not recommended. But I do want to stop for a second. So this first image we have of the outside of the bear house in the book, we see the treehouse, not from a distance. And this, ladies and gentlemen, this is a gorgeous representation of a treehouse. Again, I am all on board with the front door being on the second floor, because we get this amazing spindly stairwell. These beautiful white stairs with pink tops and a pink landing. Pink handrails that, again, it's one, two, three, four, five, then the landing, then one, two, three, four, five, six, and then the top landing. So we've got 11 stairs, 2 landings, these beautifully carved handrails, these beautifully carved posts that Papa must have done. He's the carpenter. He built this house. It's a little Snoopy's doghouse about how they could possibly fit inside, but that doesn't matter. Because it looks incredible. This is a gorgeous layout of the house. We also have the honey store out front. It's a small, not to keep belaboring the Peanuts connection, but it's very much like Lucy's, her psychiatry booth, except there's a disgruntled bear and a barrel of honey inside. And a smokestack. I guess they got to heat the place, or maybe they boil the honey. I don't know why the smokestack, but it's cute. And the owner, the proprietor of the honey store, looking very upset because Papa's running past the honey store because he ain't gonna eat any of the honey from that honey store. No, the best honey in town is the honey you find yourself. So come on, Small Bear, let's go hunt us up some honey. Let's go have a big honey hunt. I am the honey master. I know how to get honey. What you do is you follow a bee. So this is the introduction of the bees in Bear Country. So already we've got a few concepts introduced into the world. We got the treehouse, we got Mama Bear, we got Papa Bear, we got Future Brother Bear, Small Bear. We've got the vastness of Bear Country, and we have a bee. The bees play a big role later on. But they're chasing a bee. Buzz, buzz, said the bee. They chase the bee up a hill, they chase the bee down the hill to a tree, and Papa's like, I know this for a fact. This is our tree. This is the one we're looking for. Come on, Small. Come on, Small Bear. Let's go chase this bee into a tree. So they follow the bee to the honey tree, and Small Bear's like, is that a honey tree? And Papa's like, yeah, it looks like one. I know it's one. So sit, kick back, relax. We're going to get more honey out of this tree than you've ever seen in your life. And then Papa does something weird. I don't understand how this illustration really works. So previously we have Papa standing and sort of with his hands on his hips looking at the honey tree. The next shot is Papa nose first in the honey tree. He's like the action line show that he has leapt forward, like dove forward face first into the honey tree with his arm extended, knocked an owl out of its nest, its eggs broke. Congratulations on killing the owl's children, Papa. The bee flies off. Small Bear's like, are you getting honey? Are you getting a lot of honey? And Papa Bear's like, That's not a honeybee, and it wasn't a honey tree. So kudos to the Berenstains for acknowledging that there are, you know, bees out there who aren't necessarily giving us honey. Papa's being attacked by the owl. But it is funny, though, that he just leapt face first into the tree. He's got a pot there. Was he hoping to, like, scoop it? I don't know what his plan was. But Small Bear notices that the bee is flying over a wall. So Papa goes chasing after that bee. They chase it into the woods. They follow it into the woods, into a new tree. They can't be wrong about this one. This has got to be the honey tree. And Small Bear is like, is that a honey tree? How do you know? And this is one of my favorite rhymes in the book. Now, I'm usually not a fan of repetitive rhymes, but this works. And it works because of the rhythm. And one of the strongest things that Ted liked about the Berenstain Bears, or the Berenstain Bears, the Berenstain's initial book, Freddy Bear's Spanking, was their rhyming ability, their rhyme scheme, their ability to write fun rhyming lyrics with a fun rhythmic pattern. And so Small Bear says to Papa Bear, is that a honey tree? How do you know? And Papa says, well, it looks just so, and it feels just so. Looks so, feels so, so it's so. Which might be a lazy rhyme if it weren't for the fact that the rhythm works really well. Well, it looks just so, and it feels just so. Looks so, feels so, so it's so. I don't know. And so it is. Thus it is. Like, you're using so in two slightly different forms, and that works for me. That's fine. And it's not, the whole book isn't like this, so that small cheat rhyme is kind of brilliantly done. So Papa reaches the tree, and Small Bear's like, how's that honey coming? Are you getting a lot of honey? Well, it wasn't a honey tree. It was, I guess, a porcupine tree. A porcupine comes leaping out of the top of the tree, which porcupines don't do. Leaps onto Papa Bear's back and chases them off. Meanwhile, Small Bear notices that their friend, the bee, is flying off again. Papa doesn't get porcupined, by the way. That's not what happens in this book. He just gets scared off. So they chase the bee even further. And I like this. Papa has Small Bear on his back. It's not a very good illustration of Small Bear being on Papa Bear's back. Like, it's a little awkward, and his hands are a little weird, and Papa is holding him in a weird way. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it's something we don't get to see a lot of. This is pre-baby bunting. This is pre-stroller time. This is just agrarian bears. Sometimes you got to throw your kid on your back and chase a bee. So on with the hunt. I will not rest. I will follow that bee to his honey nest. And lo and behold, the bee dives into a bee tree. They listen. Is it a bee tree? Why, I know it is. Why, yes, Small Bear. I can't be wrong. Like the last tree was, only a bee tree goes buzz, buzz. And this bee tree is going buzz, buzz. So Papa leaps in, nose first. Once again, I don't know why, but it wasn't a bee tree. It was a skunk tree. Wrong kind of tree. Again, they don't get sprayed by the skunks, but Papa Bear is still just like, let's get out of here. So what we're seeing here is an establishment of situation that's going to follow up in many of the Berenstain Bears books to come, which is that Papa Bear is going to boastfully, arrogantly brag about the fact that he is good at a thing that he's not good at. He will lead Small Bear, later Brother Bear, later the Bear Cubs or the Bear Scouts into danger and end up being the only one getting hurt. Now, unlike those future books, this is just Papa triggering bad events, but he's not actually getting injured himself. He's not getting poked by the porcupine. He's not getting sprayed by the skunk. However, there is a boat which they steal, or at least which Small Bear steals. I don't think this is their boat, but it is a boat. It's just sort of kicking back next to a stream, next to the water, and they hop in and go down the rapids, which is reckless to say the least. But if you want to get honey, there's just one way. You must follow your bee. If it takes all day, if a bear is smart, if a bear is bright, a bear keeps going if it takes all night. And finally, they end up at the weirdest looking, most Guillermo del Toro looking, nightmare bulging, childbirth-esque tree we've ever seen in our lives. We love it, we know it, we deal with it. It is the old honey tree. That's right. We will see this tree over and over again in the history of bear country. Now, but Papa's cautious this time. He says, let me think. Let me see. This looks just like a honey tree. And it feels just like a honey tree. And it goes buzz, buzz like a honey tree. And it tastes like a honey tree. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not watching along at home, then consider yourselves lucky. Because if there's one thing you probably haven't thought of in a while, if you've read the book at all, if you've never read the book, it's how long is Papa Bear's tongue? How long does that tongue extend out of this man's mouth? Does my man have a tongue that's about 4 or 5 inches long? If you ever wondered how long and dexterous and pointy and, you know, useful Papa Bear's tongue is, well, have I got an answer for you? It's upsettingly long. It tastes just like a honey tree. Papa extends his, as a small bear, by the way, Papa Bear extends his tongue, and he holds it out to catch the drippings of the honey coming out of the tree. I would think you could just stick your finger there and be like, oh, that tastes like, that's honey, that's good honey, all right. Instead, he opens his mouth. Try this at home. Take a honey jar and a spoon, dip out a little bit of honey until it's just coming off the spoon, about to drip. And catch the honey on the end of your tongue. Not your tongue, but the very tip of your tongue. So what you need to do is open your mouth as wide as it can. Now, open your mouth as wide as it goes, but don't throw your head back to open your mouth up. Look straight ahead and just lower your jaw, like you're supposed to do with a puppet. And then I want you to extend your tongue as far as it will go. So, and let that honey just drip off onto your tongue. Let it happen. And now imagine you're in the woods doing this by bees, I guess, is what Papa Bear's thought is. He tastes the honey and it's honey. Folks, if I was ever going to get a Berenstain Bears tattoo, this is what it would be. It would be a giant rendition of Papa Bear with his mouth wide open and his tongue sticking straight out. And I'd put it on my back, maybe. Like, it looked like he was coming around the corner. I don't know. Maybe that's what I would get. If I get 10,000 subscribers to my YouTube channel, I'll consider it. So tell your friends. I'll consider it. So Papa Bear tongues the honey, tongues the tree. And boy, oh boy, it's honey. So he starts ripping this tree apart. And I love, because this is very much what a bear does to get honey. It just takes its claws and rips open a tree like it ain't nothing, like it's a present. That bear is like, this is my honey now. I'm going to get this honey. And what do you think happens? Well, the bees get mad at Papa Bear. Now, in real life, a bear wouldn't be bothered by the bees. Be like, I don't care. My skin is thick. My fur is thick enough. I don't get bothered by the honeybees. These bears have evolved past that. They do not have protective fur. They do have fur, but it's not protective. So Papa Bear gets yiked right out of there. Dad, you left the honey, because he starts running away. Dad, you left the honey in the tree. And Papa Bear says, you know what? That's not the kind I want, small bear. I will get you honey. I said I would, but that bee's honey was not too good. And small bear's like, well, where are you going to find honey now? Here in the water? That seems funny, because they dive into the water. And Papa Bear says, no, we won't find honey in here, small bear. But soon I'll show you where to get the honey. So they're hiding under the water with their long banana snout sticking up out of the water, which is what they do. I'll show you where. Here's what you do. And Small Bear's like, well, how? What do you do? How do you get honey, Papa Bear? If we're not going to do it this way, how do we get honey? And he says, you know, the best sort of honey never comes from bees. It comes from a store. I would like some, please. And he goes to the honey stand in front of the house. And Mama Bear stands up in that incredible-looking tree with an incredible Mama Bear face on her face, smiling from steer to sternum, from top to turn, from aft to fore, from ear to ear, with the biggest does a bear hunt for honey in the woods grin on her face, being Mama Bear. She loves her Papa Bear, but she loves being right even more. Smug as you can, I would like some, please. They get the honey from the honey store, and they head back home, proud as anything. And we see this incredible Mama Bear. I love it when they would have to draw the bears, like, far away. They'd have to draw very small, like, renditions of the Berenstain Bears. This is basically just sort of the rough shape of the Berenstain Bear head and then just a smiley face smack in the middle. I love the way Mama Bear looks. I love the way the treehouse looks. I love the way the bears look. I know it's not the bears at their finest as far as appearance goes, but they look great. They look great. They're great. And I don't want to go without mentioning the end papers, which are Papa and Small Bear with facing the reader again, with their snouts up, but both listening in at the honey tree. It's just a great rendition of our bear family. So that is the Berenstain Bears, the Big Honey Hunt. Not the Berenstain Bears and the Spooky Old Tree. Not the Berenstain Bears and the Honey Tree. It's the Berenstain Bears, the Big Honey Hunt by Stanley and Janice Berenstain. The book that began it all, everyone. I covered this book almost 10 years ago, so it's been fun going back and revisiting it. Not a whole lot to say about it. It's a solid book. The rhymes solidly work. The gags aren't as outrageous as they would get. They're still feeling it out. They're still feeling it out. But I'm going to look up in the book, I Can Read It All By Myself, by Paul V. Allen, who was on the show years ago. And if you haven't picked a copy of this book up, I highly recommend it. This book is very good. He says, this is Paul V. Allen. He says, the overall style of the book is much looser and a bit cruder than the Berenstain's later work. Stan and Jan themselves looked back on the book's artwork with some sense of bafflement, saying it didn't even meet their standards of the time. It's almost as if we had forgotten how to draw, they wrote. They added that the pictures were done with, quote, wild abandon, and lamented the, quote, this is how they describe it, worm-thin treehouse, and the fact that, quote, on some pages, Papa Bear looked like a haystack wearing overalls, which, okay, fine, but it's charming. None of that stopped the book from becoming a hit, with great sales and a write-up in the New York Times by children's author Irma Stinton Black, celebrating its fast action and humor. In fact, The Big Honey Hunt sold so well that it sabotaged the next book the Berenstains planned to release. That's right. So they were going to do a book called Nothing Ever Happens at the South Pole, but because there was no intention to keep doing bear books, because as Geisel was like, there's too many bears in children's literature anyway. There's Winnie the Pooh. There's just a ton of bears. There's Corduroy. There's so many bears in children's literature. We don't need another bear. And then this book was a hit, and he was like, cancel everything. Stop what you're doing. We're doing another bear. And so that is next time we pick up with a flashback book, we're going to pick up with the next one. I think it's The Bike Lesson. It's either The Bear's Picnic or The Bike Lesson, one of the two. So the next time we do a flashback, I'll be taking a look at the book that wasn't supposed to be the next book, but ended up changing. If this book got them on their feet, the next book sent them into the stratosphere. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for this necessary flashback, because I don't have a book this week. I'm all ears. You know, if you have more suggestions on what I should do, I will, fingers crossed, be doing some of the Stan and Jan cartoon books. They're not for kids. They're not for always for kids. These aren't for kids. These are books about, like, SEX and SEX, I guess that's the other. Some are a little smarmy. Some are a little sexist. Some are a little wild and bizarre. I was looking back at some of them on the shelf. But they are worthy of appreciation. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for spending your time here with moi. And I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.